Be great. All right. Well, good morning, everybody. We are so glad that you are here on this beautiful Easter Sunday morning. You know, it's finally here. I don't know if you feel like it's finally here, if you feel like it got here too fast. I don't know if Easter beat your new Easter dress from Amazon in the mail. I don't know what it took for you to get here today. I don't know if you had to iron your hat or put flowers in your blouse or whatever it was, but we're glad that you are here on this beautiful day. There is so much to be excited about. Now, I was trying to think back over some of my favorite Easter memories, and I don't know if you do that. Anybody, what's some of your favorite parts about Easter? You can say, we'll get to the church answers, I promise. Tell me some of your favorite stuff about Easter. Go ahead, buddy. The candy. The candy. Yeah. Yes, ma'am.
All the eggs.
I love that answer. Not just eggs. All the eggs. That's good. Yes, in the back. You had a baby on Easter Sunday? That's weird. All right. That's great. Which one was it? It was JC? Well, it's not weird now. That's just JC. That's good. All right. Anybody else? What's your favorite parts of Easter? Yes, ma'am, in the back. Family together. Absolutely. Anybody else? Yeah, right here. Yes, ma'am. Say it again. Coloring eggs? Oh, my goodness, yeah. A new suit. It looks good on you. We're excited about your new suit, too. Yes. Yes, watching the kids on Easter morning, whether you're Easter egg hunting or just coming down for the children's moment or whatever. I think that's all. Just a couple more. Yeah. Travis, go ahead. Oh, now you're just showing off. Now, you both of you in the back just showing off. Yeah, and you said you were in Daytona. Is that right? Orange Beach. I mean, come on. You can give me like, it's like 5 miles. Yeah. At an Easter sunrise service. Yeah, we bet. All right. Yeah, right over here. That's fantastic, the amount of fun that you have on Easter. So we got to get out there a little bit earlier. We had an Easter egg hunt. If you took part in that, and the kids were grabbing the little plastic Easter eggs, there was all kinds of fun stuff in it. And somebody was joking about we should have an adult Easter egg hunt. And I remember when I was growing up, and we would go down to the farm in southeast Georgia, and we would have an Easter egg hunt, but we hunted the real eggs. You know what I'm talking about? Like Miss Mandy mentioned earlier, the real eggs, and we would color them. And as we grew up and when we kind of became teenagers and then into young adulthood, what we started to really enjoy, and this was our favorite part of Easter, except for, you know, the whole like church stuff. Our favorite part of Easter was we would hunt for eggs, but the real golden egg was the egg you found from last year. Right? Because at that point in our life, I mean, we could chunk a hard-boiled egg through a car windshield, right? Like now I would need rotator cuff surgery, but back then we could whiz it, right? And so then you would hit one of your cousins, specifically James, if he's watching. And then, to quote when they're talking about Lazarus in the scriptures, he stinketh, right? They would smell like that egg for days. We even got to where we would hide extra eggs in places we thought people couldn't find them so that we would know where they were next year, right? So that we could make sure that we had a wonderful time. Well, this morning, I don't know what got you out of bed. I doubt it was hitting your cousin James with a stinky egg. But we awoke with joy, ready to witness to this new life of faith, ready to celebrate Easter, and ready to be honest that we don't always wake up with joy. Sometimes we wake up with fear and with pain and with hurt, but we get to claim this morning that hope and love and peace will outlast those things. That in the midst of the hurt, which is real and which happens, and too many times I feel like as church people, we feel like we have to pretend like those things aren't real. How you doing, brother? Oh my gosh, if I was any better, I'd be twins. Right? If I was any better, I'd be you. I'm too blessed to be stressed. We say those sorts of things, and maybe we're just being nice. But the honest truth is, we're scared. We're growing older. Illness may have set in. We're scared for our children, our children's children, whatever it may be that day. It may just be the stress of work or finances or whatever it is. But there in the midst of this life, when we celebrate the joys and goodness of life, we also have the fears that we carry with us. This morning, as we look towards the empty tomb, as we talked a little bit about at sunrise this morning, it was a morning full of fear. They had lost their beloved friend. The one that they thought could very well be their Messiah had been killed. And then Mary shows up at the tomb, and not only is Jesus dead, but he's not even there. They won't even have a place to go and to worship. They won't even have a place to go and to celebrate or remember or to even do their duty. We are reminded that even Easter morning starts with fear. Easter morning starts when we feel like there is no more hope. Easter morning starts when we think death is going to have the last word. Easter morning starts when we think that illness will take all that we have. Easter morning starts when we think there's nothing good in this life anymore. We get to claim that those things that hurt and that pain and that fear, they take up some space in our mind and in our hearts, but they don't have to own us. They will not be the end of us. And even the worst thing will never be the last thing in a life of faith. Now, sometimes we're here on Easter morning because we were super excited. Sometimes you're here because the pastor asked you to be in charge of the overflow chairs if needed, right? Sometimes you're here because mama or grandma told you you had to be here, or because you'd only have one day a year that you can wear that hat. I don't care what it is. I have something to say to all of you. Welcome to church, baby. We're glad you're here. We don't care why you're here. We're glad you're here. It is a beautiful day to be in the church, to be a part of a family of faith. And it's a beautiful day to be reminded that resurrection and reconciliation and redemption are here. They're not a someday. They're not a maybe. They're not a if only. There's not a only if my party wins the election. They're not a if only I could get out of bed. They're not even an if only if this illness would go away. They are real here and now, and we will get glimpses of heaven in this life, and we will do everything we can to make sure that this world begins to look the way that we understand heaven too. As we look in Luke chapter 24 today, we join in with the festivities of the morning. On the first day of the week at early dawn, they went to the tomb, taking the spices that they had prepared. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they went in, they did not find the body. While they were perplexed about this, suddenly two men in dazzling clothes stood beside them. The women were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground, but the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here, but he has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be handed over to the hands of sinners and be crucified and on the third day rise again." Then they remembered his words. And returning from the tomb, they told all this to the 11 and to all the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other women with them who told this to the apostles, But these words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them. But Peter got up and ran to the tomb, stooping and looking in. He saw the linen clothes by themselves. Then he went home amazed at what had happened. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. I want to jump back to this verse 7, and we're going to dwell here before we wrap it up today. It says, the women were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground, but the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? Why do you look for the living among the dead?" That is an audacious question. And I think it's a question that gets at the heart of humanity, the selfish heart of humanity. You see, we are constantly looking for more life, more joy, more purpose, more, insert whatever it is you want. We want more of it. We are constantly looking. But if we are honest, we are constantly going to the places that will lead us to death instead of the places that will lead us to life. Now, I got to be honest, this is a really good question this morning, not just for us hypothetically. But when I lose someone, when there is death, and I go to find them, you know where I expect to find them? Wherever I left them. Right? And Mary shows up at the tomb this morning with her friends, and he's not there. And the angels pose this question that we have handed down throughout the ages. Why do we continue looking for the living among the dead? And the honest answer is because we didn't really believe it the first time we heard it. We weren't really sure. We didn't really think that would lead us to life. We honestly thought if we chased the pleasures of this world, if we chased success, if we chased acclaim, if we chased votes, if we chased money, if we chased vacation properties or more rentals or whatever it is, these are the things that lead to life. They will bring us joy. They will bring us fulfillment. They will bring us everything that we need. And then we will feel alive. I want you to talk to someone who's gotten all of those things. You ever talk to a lottery winner? They're super excited that weekend. But a few years later, it wasn't all the joy they thought it would be. I mean, I would obviously be the exception to that rule, right? Like, I think I can make it work. But I think every one of them thought that too. But that's the human condition. Did you hear the narcissism? That wouldn't happen to me. If I got everything I wanted, I would really be happy. The honest truth is we wouldn't be, because we keep looking for living things by chasing the things that will ultimately lead to death. The angels cut away at the heart of the human condition. You see, this is resurrection morning. This is a day where we get to speak hope and life and joy and light into the places in our life where those things never existed before. We get to believe that there is a Jesus, that this is a real place with real people, and this is a real purpose, and this is a real resurrection, and we will get to experience it too. And even in the midst of cancer, there can be joy. Even in the midst of financial crisis, there can be joy. Even in the midst of addiction, there can be joy. Even in the midst of narcissism, well, there's a lot of joy there, I think. I think they have a lot of joy. They just don't know they shouldn't have joy about those things. But anyway, we, my friends, get to be a part of resurrection morning. You see, we have come here this morning, whether we know it or not, looking for life. We have come together to celebrate eternal life. We love the sounds of new life. They are beautiful, like music to our ears, because we are a people who are looking for life. You see, in the midst of emptiness and loss, we find Jesus speaking to the heart of the human condition. There can be life where there once was death. There can be spring where there was once winter. There can be new flowers where we thought they had died from last year. And like my boxwoods, I thought they were gone, right? But they're coming back little by little. Now, some of us spring up like the daisies, and the rest of us don't like you. Some of us spring up like the boxwoods, and it takes us a little time. Some of us are a little bit more like rose bushes, and not just because there's thorns, but it takes a lot of pruning for us to look pretty. Right? But Jesus loves us all. Jesus went to the cross on Good Friday for us all. For God so loved the world. For God so loved me, absolutely. For God so loved you, absolutely. For God so loved all humanity, absolutely. For God so loved the other political party from yours, absolutely. For God so loved the people that you call enemies, absolutely. For God so loved the people who don't look like you, think like you, smell like you, listen to the same music like you, absolutely. For God so loved the world, all of creation, all of it, absolutely. He went to the cross, he went to the grave, and this morning, you see, we celebrate this at funerals, it sounds wild. But 2,000 years ago, they tried to kill love. They nailed love to the cross. But love came down. in the person of Jesus Christ, in the grace of God. It could not be conquered. It could not be put in a grave. The stone can't hold it. Darkness will not win. Sickness and illness will not have the last word. We are a resurrection people. And this morning we have seen the empty tomb, but that comes to us with some responsibility, that we stop chasing the things that lead to death and that we start chasing the things that lead to life. It comes with responsibility that we treat other people in such a way that they experience more life in this world, not more division and disunity and hatred, which typically is our way. The empty tomb comes with the responsibility that we share the love and grace of Jesus Christ with each other, with our family, with those with whom we are in relationship with, and with a world that needs redemption and reconciliation so very bad. You see, redemption is a person, the person of Jesus Christ, not a thing that we can find and accumulate. And so as a people that are call themselves Christian this morning, our tomb is already empty. Our God is already victorious. You see, this implores us believers to work, to risk, to be about the work of God in this world, to take up our cross, and to believe in a God that empties tombs and rolls away stones, and who ultimately awakes, like we shared at the Easter sunrise service, with our name on his lips. We are the people of God. Now, I don't know about you this morning, but I need some change and some Jesus in my life. And I know that seems trite, but I think we're all here for that very reason. This morning, as we celebrate Holy Communion together, we get to take part in the body and the blood and the sacrifice and the grace that was chasing us before we ever knew it was chasing us. That is the grace that we celebrate today. It is the grace that sustains us. We don't know what the day will hold, but we know that we're going to take this meal and we're going to be excited for it, because the goodness of God is with us.